This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
Tommy, Ocean Chinook or Puget Sound Coho, what is your palate favorite?
And you drop that kokanee on top of that barn door halibut's head, 67 feet of water, and he was not happy about that.
Well, I don't know. What do you think? Boxers or briefs?
Ooh, I'm going to have to go with a European cut Speedo.
Fantastic. Excellent choice.
I love tuna. I do love tuna.
Heck yeah! Hey, you know, I have a buddy who refers to Canadian geese as flying carp. Obviously, he's not cooking them.
He clearly. Right? Oh, ocean schnook.
Seriously?
Hands down.
Really?
Hands down. I don't fish for coho.
Good point. Hey, speaking of grind, can you tell the difference between ground deer and ground elk? Honestly, taste the difference.
You know, Dwayne, we only get one chance to live this life. Mm-hmm. And you will always regret the things that you don't do. So you know what I tell people? Buy the damn boat.
Hey, you know, the facts are, some days are just a grind. Welcome to Fish Hunt Northwest, the number one fishing and hunting talk show throughout the Pacific Northwest and beyond. Now here's your host, Dwayne England, and of course, the infamous Tommy Donlan.
Hello, and welcome to Fish Hunt Northwest. Dwayne England, Tommy Donlan, back here in studio.
What's going on, buddy?
You know, another week flew by.
I mean,
it's Thursday already. Here we are.
Yep.
And gosh, the weather's just inconsistent. Consistently inconsistent.
Yeah. Say, it looks, right? It's trending better, though.
It's trending better, though. Yeah. I'm looking forward to some things going on, although we might talk about this later. Trying to plan that trip back up north, go after some steelhead. And once again, I've got a deluge coming. You know. Anyway, hey, I want to welcome everybody to the show. Looks like we got a number of folks signing on here already. Good to see you all on here. Great show lined up. Tons of content to get through, as always. And I want to remind you, if it's the first time you're joining us, especially here on Root Sports, take some time, jump on over to our webpage, www.fishhuntnw.com. They're going to find lots of useful and insightful videos, blogs, tons of info. Also, to take advantage of our coupon codes with some of our co-sponsors, contributing sponsors, Edge Rods, FHN20 at checkout. You're going to save 20% on all Edge fishing rods all year long at checkout. And that is applied to any rods that are not previously dedicated to another special or reduced pricing. And then, of course, with Phelps Game Calls, Fish Hunt NW20 for the remainder of the month here through April, 20% off all turkey calls. Tommy, we're talking slate calls, box calls, diaphragm calls, the whole thing. 20% off Fish Hunt NW20 at checkout to save 20% on all those calls through the end of April. So please take advantage of that as it is turkey season. A couple 410s laying here on the desk.
Yes, indeedy.
We'll talk about those in a little bit. Hey, we got to start getting out there, Thomas. Our annual Kids Trout Derby is coming up.
It's coming up.
The fourth annual Summit Lake Fish Hunt Northwest here at Summit Lake Kids Trout Derby. Third Saturday of May.
That's right.
As always. And so this year, easy to remember, get it on the calendar, May 18th. May 18th is going to be the Kids Trout Derby. Lots of things going on there. We have additional help coming from some other folks as well.
Mm-hmm. So, and it's, you know, the cool thing about this, it's completely free.
Right.
Right. There's zero cost.
Yep.
It's awesome to get the kids on fish. Even if they're five and under, they can do the trout pond.
Trout pond,
right? If they're over five, right, they can go fishing in the lake. Free T-shirt, free raffle ticket.
Yep.
So they always go away with something. It's just a fun day.
It's a great day. Mission Outdoors is going to be on board again to help us out, providing all the food, breakfast and lunch, all the drinks. WDFW supplying the kids trout pond at the site this year, the location, five and under fish the pond. Kids up to 14 can fish the Derby. The Washington State Guides Association, a number of those guys are jumping on board, getting here early, putting their boats in the water. We're going to have a list, and I'll get that info coming here shortly. We'll start collecting a list of names, families and kids that don't have access to the water, Tommy. We're going to put them in boats with professional guides, get them out on the water to catch their limit, get back in to get them into the weigh-in. If we still have time, they can take another group out and do it again. So we're going to get as many folks, many kids on the water to bring fish to the weigh-in. Got to be in line by 11 a.m. for weigh-in. You qualify for all kinds of prizes through the different categories of fish that you can turn in. And, of course, as you mentioned, every kid gets a free raffle ticket. You're going to walk away with something. Last year, we had about 170 kids. And every kid,
that's phenomenal.
Every kid went home with something. This year, we're shooting for 200. If you want to help out, volunteer, get a hold of us. Message us here at Fish on Northwest via Messenger or our email over on our webpage. But much more info to come on that. Get May 18th on your calendar. That will be the date for sure. All right, running down the show, lots to take advantage of, my friend. It's spring, right? So we should be out doing stuff. We got clam digs, shrimp dates, halibut derbies, and also some, we're going to cover some salmon seasons that have been set now coming out of north of Falcon. We're finalizing on that. We got all the info. Spoon fishing for steelhead with the master metal himself, Bill Herzog. A little something we filmed a week or so ago when we were up there. Skagit Sock took some time to speak with him on the water, walk you through some finer points on spoon fishing. Part two with Bill, we're going to truly get into choosing the correct spoon, weight, finishes, and apply it to certain conditions. Tommy, then we got you in the bait lab tonight. Live bait for lingcod in Puget Sound. We're going to back that up with a second round, doing two segments in the bait lab, live bait for lingcod and out in the ocean, what those differences are. I'm looking forward to that. Then we're coming back in studio here. Time for some turkey talk. Are you ready? If not, we're going to give you some finer points to think about, some weapon choices and some options as this thing gets started as early as tomorrow is opening day. Then, of course, we'll come back, close out the show, talk a little about steelhead season finalizing and where we're at. So don't go anywhere. Jump out for a quick break. We come back, going to run down a host of things that you should be taking advantage of. Well, because they're all fun to do. After the break, right here, Fish on Northwest.
Defiance Marine is the one-stop shop for the Pacific Northwest angler. Defiance Marine guarantees the best price on a new and best service on a repower for your current boat. Defiance Marine is a Honda Premier dealership and one of the largest on the West Coast. Defiance Marine is a boat dealer who proudly sells Defiance, Allied, and Arima boats. All boats are built by West Coast fishermen for West Coast fishermen. Defiance Marine has all your boating needs to help you get out on the water.
If you're looking for the best fishing rods in the world, you really do need to take a look at the Edge rods. I designed and built new machinery, and I think this new machinery has enabled us to build blanks like no other company can build without this equipment. There is no other rods in the world that are as good as these rods. You owe it to yourself to take a good look at them.
All right, welcome back here in studio to Winning with Tommy Donnellan. And Tommy, as we mentioned in the intro here, we got a lot of things. This time of year really
starts. That time of year.
Man. It's just.
It is that time of year.
As Herzog used to always quote, you know, frozen with indecision at times. Right? Yep. And I'm like, nah, I'm pretty sure I can figure out what I want to go do. Right?
Yeah.
So, hey, number of clam digs. This is the best time of year, my opinion, personal opinion. Best time of the year to dig clams. Morning tide. Much nicer weather. Weekends, yeah. Get the kids out.
Yep.
They're not going to get freezing cold and play in the water a little bit. And at the end of it, I mean, you get your clams and then guess what? You're there. You might as well do a little surf perch fishing.
Yeah, I should have thought about that before I took my son out a couple months ago and, you know, subjected him to the weather, the rain, the wind,
you want to enjoy the
nighttime
time,
dig, right? You know, had a life jacket, had him tethered to the car.
Yeah, he's better for it though. It's tougher kid, right?
He's tougher.
We have April 8th, which is already up and going through the 14th, this current set. Morning tides again, Moke Rocks and Long Beach, Copalis, all those. Check your regs to see which dates. Then we have, you know, in succession, we're going to have 23rd to the 29th. Then we get another another shot here early May, May 6th through 12th. Mm-hmm. All these are dates that are basically secured for that. That being said, if they do testing and come up with the MOIC acid, they would shut it down. But so far, it looks good. And again, morning tides, great family time, so much fun.
That's right.
And you can take advantage of that surf perch fishing, which is a kick in the pants.
Have you ever done that? I want to do that. Yeah, you have?
Yeah.
I need to get on that.
It's a lot of fun. And they taste fantastic.
They do?
Yeah, very flaky, light, white meat. We should go do that.
Now you piqued my interest.
Clam dig and some perch fishing.
I like that.
Okay, we'll do it.
I like that. Hey, we also got some shrimp dates coming up.
We do.
Now, you really got to read the regs to understand which area you're targeting. Areas 4 through 7, it's really variable.
Right.
So you just have to get on the WDFW website and look at the specific dates. Areas 8-1 and 8-2, right? So now we're into the Puget Sound, and this is where it gets highly competitive. This is your derby style, traditional spot prawn opener in the Puget Sound.
Yes.
8-1 and 8-2, May 16th and the 30th, right?
Yes.
9 a.m. to 1 p.m. You got a whopping 4 hours and you better be out there.
You didn't get out.
Areas 9, 10, 11, you got one day so far. That's it. That's the only one scheduled. May 16th.
4 hours.
You got 4 hours.
You only have a day.
That's it. Yeah, yeah, right. It's on that day, four hours, right?
Yep.
And then, at Hood Canal, you've got a few more opportunities, May 17th, 18th, 30th, and June 15th.
Yeah.
And so you really got to read the regs. You got to be ready. And if you're going to so the problem is we don't have a lot of access points, right? Especially
true.
Hood Canal.
Yes.
Even in the Puget Sound. Don Armaney Bow Launch in West Seattle is going to be absolutely a zoo, right?
We've done it before.
When we did it before, I was there at like 3:30 in the morning just to launch my boat, so I didn't have to deal with the crowd.
Just hovering.
That's right.
And we got all our stuff and everything, the crew and everybody down to the dock.
That's
came
right.
And swept in, picked us up, and we got out. And it's all about efficiency.
Yeah.
You got to be ready to go. You got to have everything loaded. You know, as soon as the bell rings, man, then pot's got to be in the water. Yeah,
and when it strikes 9 o'clock, it's like a shotgun start. You have to be ready.
It is.
Shrimp on the sonar, ready to drop the pot. 9 o'clock goes, boom, you're throwing that first pot overboard.
It's so crazy. I mean, the fact we get one day, 4 hour window, it just creates anxiety.
It does.
It absolutely does. But people, once you eat those, you're like, oh, I get this. But just the amount of effort before and after and some of the chaos in between.
Yes.
It's all just hyper. It's just, it's crazy. But, you know, people love it. And if you got the time on a Thursday and you got sick leave, go.
Right. Go do it. So, absolutely.
Hey, you know what? We also got a halibut derby coming up. The 4th annual Fish Northwest. This is not Fish Hunt Northwest.
Yeah, not Fish Hunt Northwest.
Over at Fish Northwest, they're running their 4th annual halibut derby Friday Harbor. May 3rd and 4th.
That's right. May 3rd and 4th. Prizes 1st through 4th. You got 1st place, $7,000. 2nd place, $2,000. 3rd place, $1,000. 4th place is a Traeger barbecue. And I will remind everybody here that there was an unofficial state record halibut caught out of Area 7 a few years ago.
That's true.
That was over 300 pounds.
Correct.
Verified by multiple sources.
Yep.
Pictures on the internet with it hanging from a tractor bucket. And so there's some big fish out there.
Yep. So payout will be 50% of the proceeds up to a maximum of $11,000. But it's pretty good prize pots if they maximize that, you know, with the money coming in. Because they are using some of the monies for, you know, charitable stuff as well. Mm-hmm. It's a great opportunity. All the rules and regulations, go to fishnorthwest.org/derby. fishnorthwest.org/derby. If you want to compete in that, it's a great event. They do a really fantastic job, Tommy, and this will be the 4th annual. Hopefully they get high participation and the weather is conducive to getting out. Hey, tentative NOF is basically complete.
North Pelican
is basically complete.
Yep.
Just looking for sign-offs as they finalize the last couple of days here. Tentative Puget Sound and other salmon fisheries are as follows. On a few notes I took down, Thursday through Saturday, hatchery summer Chinook season, right? Starting July 18th in Marine Areas 7, 9, and 10, and now 11, although 11 will be Thursday through Saturday, June 5th through the 30th.
Yep.
I don't know if 3-day windows are going to keep us off the sublegals or not. In my mind, this is their effort to try to keep us on the water deeper into the season.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully so.
I mean.
Yeah, we'll see. In the ocean, right, it's going to open June 22nd, Areas 1, 3, and 4. Area 2, there's still a major battle going on with the Westport Charter Boat Association.
Right. Yeah.
They are restricting the fleet. It's a late opener, June 30th. And then even at that, you got a good 2 weeks where it's only open 4 days a week, Sunday through Thursday, or 5 days a week. It really makes it hard for the working person to make it out there on a weekend and get a benefit of 2 days of fishing. Right.
Yeah.
And then on June, you know, finally on July 14th, it'll go to a full week open.
But we're mid-July.
You're mid-July.
Those
by that
first
point.
2 weeks of
it's
opportunity
prime time.
Out in Westport.
I mean, right.
Come on. That's Chinook. And we, you know, one fish, two fish, one being Chinook, you know,
yep.
So I mean, it's better than, I guess, nothing, but I'll be very curious to watch how this produces or how productive it is in Puget Sound with 3-day windows of opportunity,
right,
and these shorter seasons in Westport and whatnot. We're going to talk more about this at a later date as we get closer, but kind of just a few things that kind of rolled out. Mm-hmm. And some folks are happy. The charter guys are really happy.
Yeah.
But we'll see where this goes. All right. Jumping out for a quick break. Hey, when we come back, if you've always ever wanted to learn or listen about spoon fishing for steelhead, no man better than himself wrote a book about it years ago. Some would refer to him as the metal god. I call him the man of metal. Our longtime friend, Bill Herzog, and I step into the river. We talk spoon fishing for steelhead after this break right here, Fish on Northwest.
Allied, the new leader in heavy gauge aluminum boats. Allied boats have standard reverse chine and lifting rakes to help you plane faster and run at lower RPMs. Allied boats have several models to choose from, ranging from a 19-foot Mustang all the way up to a 32-foot Liberator. So regardless of what type of heavy gauge aluminum boats you are looking for, Allied Boats will have it for you. Contact Allied Boats today to learn more about these incredible fishing machines.
Sportco, an outdoor emporium, is the largest local outfitter in the Northwest since 1975, providing thousands of people affordable outdoor gear. This summer, make your next outdoor adventure more affordable by shopping at our warehouse-style pricing. We are a local Scotty dealer, offering sales, service, and repair. Located in Fife and Seattle, come visit us today. The outdoors awaits you.
Well, William.
Hi.
The metal god is, you're well known, or so well known. I wanted to take opportunity today. I mean, we're basically on a place where you have so much history,
mm-hmm.
and this is so near and dear to you, and just all the memories you have and whatnot. And you spend a lot of time up here.
Many decades.
Tossing metal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Along with everything else you were doing, but I want to kind of walk through it. I mean, you are fishing, you know, one of your classic old glass rods.
Mm-hmm.
You got an Abu Garcia 5001 series left-handed retrieve,
right,
bait caster on here. It's not like a high-speed reel.
No, not at all.
You know, and
as a matter of fact, I don't want a high-speed reel when I'm spoon fishing. I want the current to push the lure along. The faster I grind, the more it spins and rises. So actually, a slower retrieving reel is better for metal.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the rod, length of rod,
okay,
the type of blank it is, and why you prefer it.
Well, this is as old school as you could ever imagine. Back when I worked for Lamaglass, they said, how do you want your rod designed? I said, I want something that feels like old school glass.
Mm-hmm.
I want that whole rod to move so I can feel that. I can feel that, not on the spoon moving, but because the whole blank wobbles and moves, it allows that lure to move so much more imparted action that you get from something from like stiff graphite.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. The stiff graphite doesn't really, I mean, this rod, see, I'm watching you throw these spoons today. Mm-hmm. It telegraphs that all the way down to your handle.
It does indeed.
Right? You can see it.
Right.
Yeah. What's the length on that rod?
This is a good old fashioned 8.5-foot mm-hmm. rod, which is, if you were born as we were even before that,
yeah,
if you fish back in the 60s, 70s, even up into the 80s, you
that was eight, what we had.
You had an 8.5-foot rod.
Can I use a 10-foot rod to throw spoons?
You can use a 12-foot rod.
You can use whatever
you
want. Right.
But I would recommend 9.5 to 10.5 is
okay,
about perfect, because you want to hold line up out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
You want to gain tip speed when you cast for distance,
mm-hmm.
and longer presentations and bigger hook sets and more cushion. There's whole reasons to use rods that are a little bit longer.
Back in the day, you're using monofilament,
right,
because what we had.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And but nowadays you're good with braid.
Yeah.
You have a top shot on there of mono.
I do. This is fishing in high def.
Yeah.
What you're doing now. Before, the soft mono and whatnot, when you would hang up on the bottom, you may not even know you were hooked
sure.
up, and all of a sudden, oh my God, there goes my lure.
Yeah.
Now I can feel that spoon, because of the braid, just mm-hmm. go tick the bottom and I can bring it up. I lose 1/20th as many lures that I use.
There's no stretch. The telegraphing is instant.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You do have a little bit of stretch and give in the top shot of mono,
yes,
and you got a lot of give in the glass and the rod,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like kokanee fishing.
It is indeed.
Right?
You see, the outfit I use here, even on my higher end stuff, is really close. I use a 40-pound braid,
yeah,
30 or 40-pound braid, something mm-hmm. that's still fairly thin, you know, but I like something that's got some jack, and it helps transfer the feel a lot better. And for the bumper I put on there, the Top Shot, I'll use 8, 9, 10 foot of 15 to 20 pound test.
Right. And we're tying directly to you. You top your spoons off with a barrel swivel onto a lock ring.
Yeah, on a number five, number six.
And then you tie directly to. You're not using a lock swivel of any sort to put through the top end of that spoon and fish.
No, it's a good old-fashioned swivel, just stuck on the split ring. That's it.
Mm-hmm. What size hook are you running with that?
Oh, that right there is a 2-aught Siwash.
Does it vary with the weight of the spoon, or it's because of the profile of the spoon that your size of hook choice is pretty much always the same?
I looked at what size of fish I'm targeting.
Okay.
Like out here, my next cast could be 30 pounds.
Right.
You don't know that.
You don't know.
No one comes up to you, by the way, and taps you on the shoulder and go, the biggest steelhead you're going to hook in your life is going to be on your next cast. You don't know.
You've
got to have tackle that's going to take care of that, right? And that's what that is. That's a 2-aught Gamakatsu Siwash, and there's good ones from BMC. Mm-hmm. A lot of guys, well, I do it too. I'll put a swivel in between there, and for certain types, like coho that like the twist and for whatnot. But for just good old-fashioned use, a 2-aught standard issue long shank Gamakatsu Siwash works just fine.
Got it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you prefer the old glass with the cork handle?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You don't need to. You have any newer rods that you're fishing?
I got all kinds of great new stuff, and I love it.
You just love to go back to this.
This brings me back.
It's all about the feel, right?
And it brings me back to a time my uncle told me years ago. He goes, you want to know what it was like back in the day? Use the tackle of the day, and then you'll know what it feels like.
You know?
I like the way it feels. It brings me back, and I feel like I'm fishing in the 60s. And wouldn't that be fun?
You think?
I think so.
What I want to do is I want to talk choice of water.
Okay, yeah.
Not yet. Choice of water.
Well, okay.
I want to talk about spoon colors and choices. We're going to talk about conditions, cloudy versus sunshine, and why we're choosing the colors we choose or the metal finish that we choose, right? And I may have mentioned it, but the weight of the spoon.
Right.
How are we selecting the proper spoon?
Well, you see the size of this water here?
Yep.
This is big water. I got to throw a long ways. I got to get down fast, okay? Yep. And the water's clear. I know my fish are laying deep. I'm using a 2/3. Pretty heavy lure, right? If I'm fishing smaller water, say summer run or small water, I'll go to a 2/5.
Hold that thought. We're going to jump out for a quick break.
Okay.
When we come back, we're going to talk about size of water, metal finish choice, size of spoon as in weight, really break it down for you. Don't go anywhere. Okay. We'll jump back here with Bill Herzog, more on spoon fishing after the break, right here, Fish on Northwest.
You haven't been here, but you know it. You've heard the sounds, smelt the air, and you've seen where your heart lands, if not yet. You haven't been here, but you've longed for a destination near or far, where time spent with loved ones and friends will go into the night and last in memories for a lifetime. You haven't been here, but you're on your way to a place not far. ExploreTheDalles.com.
New days, new beginnings, new friends, new loves, new dreams, new goals, new scenery, new job. No matter what the next chapter holds, Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate will be there to help you find the new that's right for your lifestyle at any stage of your life. Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate. Expect better.
All right, welcome back here to the river, and of course, Bill Herzog. And so, before the break, I kind of started alluding to, you know, let's talk about this choice of water right here.
Right, right.
This looks like fantastic spoon water.
It pretty much is. Now, the idea is that you want what a spoon does when you present it, you're sweeping it over an area. Now, when you get these big, wide areas like this one, for example, that fish could be all the way to that break way over there to 20 feet in front of us, anywhere in between. Now, if you're fishing normal, you break it down to a grid, cast, 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 and then move on this way. I'm one cast, swing, using the attraction radius of that flash.
Right.
I work that area, move down 20 feet. I can fish this 3 or 4 times faster than any other.
Covering water.
Right.
And you're really like searching for fish with this thing.
Yeah. It's a great searching lure.
Yeah.
Great searching lure.
So let's talk about
finishes.
Finishes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now you see here.
Some of your standard options you go with.
All right. Ed Eppinger, who made the Eppinger spoon, the Daredevil, when they sold his colors company, they made 2,200 colors of spoons. He goes, I bring two, brass and red and white, and call it good. Yeah. Catch all I want. That's
right.
What your Persil Hedden, if I only had two choices, it would be copper for clear water, be it cloudy or bright. I go copper for clear water. If I've got color in the water, I'll use silver plate.
Right.
And that's it. It's all about your presentation, and where it goes is far more important than your color selection.
How'd you
color
come up with the 50-50?
Well, way back in the day, my steelhead chapter guy, Gene Creighton, you know, rest his soul, he found a spoon that he got from New York that he used to throw in the Puyallup River, and he showed me back in 1980. He goes, I found this half silver plate, half, it was made in New York, in Seneca, New York. I take this down to the Puyallup, but I've never seen them hit steelhead hit like these, like anything like these. So I thought about it when we made Pentac. He goes, what do you want to make? And I go, I want that 50-50. I want that half and half spoon, because you think about the trolling lures that the commercial guys use.
Yeah.
What do they use?
Yeah.
50-50 stuff, right?
Yeah.
And that's their favorite. Wouldn't you throw a Dick Knight for coho? What's the best color?
Yeah, 50-50.
50-50. So
it's been around forever.
It has.
Right?
And, steelhead really do like it. And as long as I think they do also, it makes
it
the
best. If you got confidence in it, makes a big difference.
Absolutely.
I think the 50-50 works so well because you have two different metal finishes there. So your spectrum of what it fits within, watercolor and amount of light coming from the sky, whether it's sunny or cloudy, right? So you've widened that spectrum out, and I think it's, you know, conducive to fish between all of those versus a narrower set of margins,
right,
so to speak.
A lot of the greatest fly fishermen ever, when they tie their flies for steelhead, we use different colors and contrast. They said that there's got to be something in that fly that they like.
Right.
So I'm going to show it to them. So
there
they like the silver, they like the gold. We give them what they want.
Okay, so when I'm selecting size or weight of spoon, again, break that down for me.
Okay, like you're fishing smaller water and then laying in riffles and shallower stuff, 2/5. Okay, that covers a whole lot of stuff. When you go into bigger water, deeper water, you got to make longer casts, 2/3 is your allied. It helps you get down, helps you reach, and you're fishing a lot more effectively.
Okay, so cast that out there
and
kind of talk to me a little bit about what the rod's doing as it's performing and how you know that spoon's fishing correctly.
Now, rarely do we ever throw upstream unless you want to get it down really fast in a deep spot.
Yeah.
Most of your casts are going to be right across from you, straight
across.
Like that, straight across, okay?
Yep.
Now, my mind's eye is telling me, okay, that thing is sinking. Now, it's just about either I can either feel a tick bottom or I know I'm close, I'll reel up. Reel till you feel, okay? A pickup, now see that rod tip start to bounce?
Yes, sir.
Now it's working. See the cadence?
Yep.
It's fishing perfectly. I'm just kind of turning my body, letting it swing and bounce. See my line is moving? See my line bouncing? That's what you want to see.
Another good reason to use the high-vis line.
Absolutely.
Line all the way to the...
And you'll know when it starts to slow down. You'll feel it ticking, hitting bottom. Bring it in, take a few steps down, do it again.
If I had too heavy of a spoon on as it's going through the swing here,
it'll hang up.
It's hanging up, hitting bottom and stuff. That's
no
a good indicator.
Or too light, you don't feel bottom at all. Or your rod is really, really humping and your line is tight and taut. That means it's up and spinning. No good.
How often should that spoon contact bottom as it goes through that drift?
Oh, well, ideally, never.
Okay,
If you kind of have an idea how deep it is, and it's like, remember the attraction radius that you have right here. Those things will come up.
Right.
40. If you get it down close to the deck, within a foot, 2 feet of the bottom, you're in business.
You're in business.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's pretty much A to Z.
Pretty much. Well, we could do this for 3 or 4 more hours.
We could talk a lot.
We could all talk about line angle and spoons and mending and all this stuff, but they'd be asleep and it'd be dark.
Well, I appreciate you, and I appreciate you bringing all your toys on this trip with us this weekend. This has been fantastic. So I'm waiting to see you lock up with a fish on that thing.
If I can find one,
we'll watch it happen.
Mm-hmm.
All right, sounds good. Appreciate it, buddy.
Right on, man.
Excellent. We're going to jump out for a quick break. We'll be back in studio right after this.
Allied, the new leader in heavy gauge aluminum boats. Allied boats have standard reverse chine and lifting rakes to help you plane faster and run at lower RPMs. Allied boats have several models to choose from, ranging from a 19-foot Mustang all the way up to a 32-foot Liberator. So regardless of what type of heavy gauge aluminum boats you are looking for, Allied Boats will have it for you. Contact Allied Boats today to learn more about these incredible fishing machines.
Hey, welcome back to Fish on Northwest. I'm Tommy Donlin. Hey, man. We are in the Bait Lab, brought to you by Sportco and Outdoor Emporium. As you guys know, this is my favorite place to be. And tonight we are talking about one of my favorite topics, and actually a topic that I have never covered in the Bait Lab.
at all. And we are going to talk about live baiting specifically for link cod. It's going to be a two-part segment, and we're going to do the first part, which really is going to be focused on small baits, Puget Sound application. The second portion is going to be talking about some bigger baits, right? So let's dive right into it. You know, the first part of the equation always starts with the stick, aka the rod, right? And this is your HLR 7630 from Edge Rods, topped with a, this is an Accurate Valiant 500N. I use, you know, this is really a jigging reel, but you know, this is kind of my switch hitter right here. So sometimes I'm going to live bait with this rod and reel, and sometimes I might just cut it off and throw a jig on it, right? And so it's very versatile, and I use this for a variety of situations. Okay, let's get down to the business end. Let's go to the table here, and I'm going to talk through some very important details here. So coming off your main line right here, main line's coming in. Very simple. That's what you got to love about this. This is a sliding sinker right here. Okay. Now on this sliding sinker right behind it, you're going to have a T, then you're going to have a snap swivel, and then you're going to have your leader. Let's talk about the leader really quick. And then I'm going to come back to this sliding sinker, which is really key. Okay. As we get to the business end, what you're looking at here is Mr. Banjo Minnow. Yes. The Banjo Minnow and my friend here. For demo purposes, you're also looking at a Nautilus circle hook here from Gamakatsu. This is a one-aught circle hook. Okay, now you might think in your mind, hey, that's pretty small. But to be honest with you, we use this for tuna all day long, and for link cod, it's no problem at all. And so, you know, the thing about live bait fishing is you want to pin your bait, but you do not want to kill this bait. That is the key to how to rig these. Now you can rig it from the nose, but I want you to think about something. As this bait is on the bottom, you don't want this bait swimming into the rocks, right? Now when you're fishing link cod, a lot of times you're fishing that rocky structure. So what I would recommend to you is right in front of the dorsal, right? Without penetrating his backbone, you're gonna sneak this hook into his back, just like that. So there's the top down view, and it's going to look like that. Now, as we come back up, what's going to happen is as your weight goes to the bottom and you have this short leader, right? This leader is only about 2.5 feet, 3 feet long. When that bait starts to swim away from the lead, because you hooked it in the top, it's going to want to swim up, right? Away from the rocks. That's why the top of the bait hook location is really important. Now you go, well, why circle hook? Okay. Well, remember you're in the Puget Sound. You have to pinch the barb. You can't fish a barbed hook. And so the circle part of the circle hook is going to help stay in that bait. And the beautiful thing about it is it's a live bait. I'm telling you, there's nothing like fishing a live bait. If you look back to the first time that Dwayne and I ever fished together in 2020, it was on Matt Messing's boat, possession bar for link cod, and we were live baiting with shiner perch and live herring. Now, when we got there, there was plenty of people fishing. There was probably about 20 to 30 boats there, nothing going on. Everybody's fishing lead head jigs with swim tails, grubs, that kind of thing, right? Completely quiet. As soon as we put a live bait in the water, we were on. We caught 14 link cod on live bait in 4 hours, and we were done, right? Catch and release. So I'm telling you, you roll up to an area that's been pounded over and over and over again with artificials, with jigs or with swim baits or whatever the case is, you put a live bait down, it's like you just set the clock back to zero. Link cod has never seen that live bait. So that's why live bait fishing is so critical. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about the weight, because the weight is important. So Dwayne has done a variety of how-tos, like focused on river fishing and how you fish the stick lead, right? In a lot of the steelhead situations that he's found himself in, you got a lot of current, maybe you have boulders down there, and you really don't want your lead getting stuck in the rocks. It's the same thing for link cod fishing, right? You're always fishing a hard pan bottom, some sort of rocky structure, some sort of danger hanging up. So you're going to use the same thing. Now, this is a copper pipe, right? You could rig this as a copper pipe jig, or I like to use it as your lead, right? Because you're banging bottom. It's creating that same electromagnetic effect on the bottom that basically triggers those link cod. They hear it. It brings them in when they come to investigate what's right in front of their face, a live bait. So you really can't go wrong with this. And then the other thing, right, as I mentioned, I've got a sliding sinker on this, right? So you attach the lead here to that sliding sinker. Now you're going to feel the bite. And as soon as you feel that bite, you're going to have the reel already in free spool, and you are going to feed that link cod, right? You're going to let him take off. You're going to give him about a 10-second count with this rig right here. And what that allows him to do is he's going to grab that bait, inhale it, turn away, and start swimming. And after the 10-second mark, you're going to slowly increase the drag and slowly start reeling, and it's going to seat that circle hook in the corner of his mouth, and then it's game on, and you don't have to worry about losing that fish because circle hooks just don't lose fish, right? Period. All right, don't go anywhere. We're going to jump out for a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about fish and live bait, big baits, right here on Fish on Northwest.
I make my living catching fish, not only as a tournament angler, but as a guide as well. Catching fish is important, and Gamagatsu hooks for me, you know, they kind of help take the luck out of fishing a little bit just because they're a high quality hook. Obviously, have a really good reputation for being very strong and very sharp. Gamagatsu, I use their products every day in the boat and, you know, big part of my success.
Hey, welcome back to the Fish Hunt Northwest. Again, we are in the bait lab. This is part two. Okay. We talked about how to fish small baits, kind of like that shiner perch or smaller herring, right? With a one-aught Gamakatsu Nautilus circle hook. Now we're kind of switching gears a little bit and we are talking about larger baits. Now, my go-to out of Nia Bay when I'm fishing live bait lingcod, usually in 200 feet of water or less, is going to be Mr. Kelp Greenling. If you can find Mr. Kelp Greenling, that is like insured lingcod success and an absolute go-to. If you're out of Westport and you're fishing live bait, it's usually a flounder, okay? And that this rig would apply to that as well. And so let's go down to the table. Let's get right down to it. So, you know, since it's really hard to find a live kelp greenling here in Puget Sound this time of year and then bring him to the table and hope he's still alive, we are going to have a stand-in. This is Mr. Mackerel, who has joined the party for today. Maybe unwillingly, but hey, he's here. Okay, same program. You got about a 3-foot leader, 2.5, 3-foot leader. Now, here's the key to success right here. You've got a Gamakatsu Big River hook, and this is a 10-aught. Right here. And that's going to be my lead hook in the equation. And now you got to remember we're fishing the ocean. You do not have to pinch the barbs. So this is actually what the rig is going to look like. Now, depending on the size of the bait that you get, actually sets the distance between your treble hook, and this is a 6-aught treble hook, right? And I'm always going with the 4X strong treble hook, sets the distance between this treble hook and the lead Gamakatsu Big River hook. And it's very simple. Now, one of the things that I like to do is I want to disturb this live bait as little as possible. So when I throw this hook in, I'm really looking for the clear part of the nose. And I'm going to slide this in, and that's it. If you can see that, looking from the top down, that's it for the nose, right? I'm not pinning his mouth shut and keeping him from breathing. I'm just putting it through his nose. Minimal damage to the fish. Okay. Now on the back side of the equation here, I'm going just past his, so there's his little dorsal fin on this mackerel, but on a greenling, I'm coming back kind of 3/4 of the way to the dorsal, maybe a little bit further. And I am just going to take one prong of the barb, one prong of the treble hook, and I'm just going to slide it just underneath the skin, just like that. And it's going to sit, and it's okay to have a little bit of slack in the line. You don't want too much because you want this fish to be able to swim left to right like that. So he's going to swim around down there. Okay. And that's it. So again, minimal disruption. You don't want to put it in his backbone because that's game over for him. And you just want to slide just one hook point in, and that's it. And the barb will help keep this treble hook inside of this bait, and this bait's going to swim perfectly. That's really all there is to it. Now, with a kelp greenling, the thing that you got to keep in mind is as soon as you put them to the bottom, they're going to make a run for the rocks, right? They're going to want to run and hide. And so it's kind of the program where you go to the bottom, you hit bottom with your stick lead, and then you're going to bring it up 5 to 10 feet. And you do not need to worry. Those things are going to create, you're going to think that you have a fish on the whole time that you're fishing that kelp greenling. That's how aggressive they are. And the reason that I love this bait is because I've had kelp greenling that I've used two, and my max is 3 times. The same kelp greenling, one bait, 3 times, 3 lingcod, all live bait. I put them back in the live well. We got back to the dock there at Nia Bay, a big salmon resort. I took him out of the live well, I threw him in the water, and he darted off to live another day. I kid you not. Okay, that's how resilient the kelp greenling are and what I think of them. Now, you don't want to ask me what I think of flounder out of Westport. I think it's just a floppy, dead, like unentertaining fish. I don't know why the lingcod there love them. You can take that lead hook and pin their mouth shut, send them to the bottom, and the lingcod are going to eat them. Don't ask me why. It's the worst live bait for lingcod that you can fish. But in Westport, those lingcod absolutely love flounder. Okay. Can't explain it, but that is the program. So in Westport, you know, and there's a lot of, you know, we fish a lot deeper water in Westport too. When deep water is open, you're going to the bottom and you're just slowly reeling up until you're feeling weight. And then it's the same thing. You go to free spool, you feed that bait to that lingcod, you know, give it 5 seconds and that's it. And it's on. Now, the one thing I do want to mention, the difference between fishing a small bait and a large bait is that with that small bait, we're only talking about a 30-pound leader, maybe 40-pound leader. You're fishing a circle hook. So you're not worried about the line rubbing on the teeth of the lingcod. With this rig, we are. We absolutely are. You know, when I hold this up and you look at it, right, if a lingcod grabs it right here, he's putting his teeth right on top of the leader. So we are using 80-pound. This particular leader here is a Jinkai monofilament. Fluoro makes a great option, super abrasive resistant. But yeah, you're talking like 80-pound, even 100-pound for lingcod here, because you do not want those teeth to wear through this line. And I got to tell you, you know, even after, there's no hook setting in either one, even though with this one you're using a, you know, a J hook and a treble hook, you do not set the hook because sometimes they just have their mouth over the bait and they don't have the fish. So you're just going to grind slow and bring them up to the top. And that's all there is to it. You will outfish everybody that has an artificial for lingcod. I absolutely promise you. Put in the time to go catch live bait, keep it, fish it. You're going to have success. All right, don't go anywhere. After this short break, we're going to come back and we're going to talk turkey right here, Fish on Northwest.
Support from Northwest Sportsmen make Federal Ammunition the world's leading ammunition manufacturer. Federal uses the industry's finest materials, giving you reliable ammunition that delivers superb accuracy and optimum performance. Northwest hunters rely on Sportco to provide the best selection and prices in the Northwest since 1985. Sportco and Outdoor Emporium in Fife and Seattle. Your journey begins here.
All right, welcome back here in studio. Dwayne and Tommy Dolan, nice job, man.
Hey, thanks, buddy.
Giving us some options there. Yeah,
you got to love live bait.
Took me back to that year, 2020, when we were out there with Matt.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Every drift.
That was a clinic.
It was unbelievable. Yeah. And, you know, we were able to, like you said, catch and release, and we kept that upper slot limit right there, that's all right. Brushing 36 inch,
yep.
34 to 36. It was bountiful.
And I think that was eye opening for everybody.
It was a good time. It was a good time. Live bait is the way to go, whether as Tommy expressed there, either Puget Sound or the ocean. So, hey, let's talk some turkey. So as of yet, I really haven't solidified any plans. I'm kind of checking out a few different things I may want to go do. You know, the last several years I've been heading over there to the east side. Once we get the opener, which is tomorrow, of course, we just had the youth opportunity was April 1st through the 7th. And, you know, it's funny because we all get amped up about turkey hunting. And typically, at least the last several years, man, April is just like, yeah, you just don't know what you're going to get with the weather.
Questionable weather. You just don't
know. I have hunted turkey when it's been snowing and sleet and hail sideways and wind blowing. And you're just like, what am I doing sitting out here, man?
Right. So, and of course, they put the youth opener first. So it can always be an interesting
We're trying to toughen them up, right?
That's right. That's right.
What better way to recruit kids into some type of activity than to make them miserable? I mean, that's the way it works. So, and there were a number of photos floating around social media. A good amount of kids got out there with some guys, dads and guides and whatnot, and found some turkeys in the youth opener and some nice toms. And in a few of those photos, there was snow in the background.
Yeah. Well, if you look at Stevens County, I mean, there's more turkey in Stevens County than I think 99% of America.
That's
so we actually have a very turkey rich environment on the east side of the state.
We do.
And, you know, speaking of you were talking about youth openers and, you know, we've already had that for Washington, but the Oregon youth opener is actually coming up here April 13th and 14th. And then, of course, we're going to have our general opener, which is April 15th, right? Tomorrow. And that'll go through May 31st.
Tax day. Yeah, through May 31st, both Oregon and Washington. Idaho does a little different. They actually, their season dates, limited entry. They do a limited entry, first and foremost, April 13th through the 25th. Then they got the youth hunt, 26th through 28th, and then it opens up for general season. But much later than us, April 29th, basically give them to May 31st. So they get a month. We get at least 6 weeks. You know, I will probably, we got a lot of things we're juggling right now, but I'm trying to squeak in a few days to go get a bird, and I just got to figure out where to go.
Right.
Last year, once again, teamed up with buddy Eric Broad. We've had him on the show here a number of times. And all his involvement with youth hunting over there on the east side and a number of different groups he's with, Washington State Turkey Hunters, Wild Turkey Hunter Group on Facebook. And he's the one that turned me on to this little Savage, you know, single shot 410. I mean, you look at this thing, Tommy, it's like a cap gun.
Well, it's amazing. Cause like you think of turkey, right? It's like the biggest bird we hunt.
Yeah.
But yet you're using a 410.
Yeah.
Not a 12 gauge, not even a 20 gauge.
Well, it's all in the ammo, right?
It's all in the ammo, right?
You reload.
That's right.
It's all about grains of powder and velocity and
that's right.
Size of round and all
you're
those
shooting tungsten load, right?
For these turkeys with 410, and of course you can get TSS load in your 12 gauge or 20 gauge, whatever. It's pricey. I mean, you're paying anywhere from $7 to $10 per shell.
Right.
But I can
you're
say
you're one and done.
You are one and done.
Yeah.
You know, and this is a Mossberg pump. 410, kind of a cool little gun, right? Just given to me as a gift. And I've shot that one a bit. I really like, even though it's a single shot, I have enough confidence in the way this is set up with a red dot scope. And, you know, you put that bead at the base of their head or at the top of their neck, whatever you want to call it, 40 yards with TSS. Now, 9.5 is going to get you about 380 pellets or something.
Yeah.
Okay. 85% of those are going to land in a 10-inch pipe plate at 40 yards.
Yeah. Which is important because when you're, you don't want to be like me, because I have a little bit different approach to turkey hunting.
Yes, you do.
And I have discussed.
That's more of a
where I'm picking the BBs out of the turkey in various spots because I hunt them more like pheasants.
Yeah, but, you do.
We won't get into that.
It's
super clean for you. So it's
very clean
and one shot and you're done. That's awesome. I mean, so one of the things too, that's really awesome that all of our viewers should take advantage of is that Phelps Game Calls. Usually we have a 10% coupon.
Sure. Yeah.
That is now turkey season is upon us. So
it
that
is
now bumped up to 20%. Right. And that coupon code is Fish Hunt Northwest 20, Fish Hunt NW 20. And you can only get that by watching the show. So you got to tell your buddies, watch
get
the
on
show,
that.
Get the code.
For sure.
Go buy some calls.
You go to our webpage, click on the coupon code, takes you to the Phelps Games, the Games call site, and then you can do your shopping and you're going to save 20% on your turkey calls through the rest of April. So, you know, we got options. I mean, 12 gauge, 20 gauge, 410 is my go-to anymore. I've killed turkeys with my bow.
Yeah.
That is also a lot of fun. Ground blind, spot and stalk. There's a lot of options. And, you know, they're just a very crafty bird. They could
see
smell
color,
us,
they can smell you.
Yeah, if they could, well, if they could smell us, we'd never kill them. They can see a mile.
I've talked to a lot of hunters that are pretty sure they can smell. Yeah,
they're the last remaining dinosaurs, man.
Yeah, I know. You look at the spikes on the
landscape.
Legs.
Oh yeah,
that's right.
It's a lot of fun, and hoping to get out and hoping to get my bird from last year back from the taxidermy.
Yeah, that was a dandy.
That was a trophy bird.
When's that coming back?
It could be another 3-4 months.
Okay.
Most taxidermists are.
Yeah, my bull was 2 years out. So
yeah,
that makes
it takes
sense.
A while, but it's going to be a beautiful mount. I never thought I would do that, but this bird was something special last year, and we caught that all on video last year. Matt Messing, Viking Outdoor Productions, did a great job and brought that to you. And again, one shot with the 410, and it was
done.
It was a game changer.
Easy on the shoulder.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, jumping out for a quick break. We come back, I don't know, closing out the show.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Defiance Marine is the one-stop shop for the Pacific Northwest angler. Defiance Marine guarantees the best price on a new and best service on a repower for your current boat. Defiance Marine is a Honda Premier dealership and one of the largest on the West Coast. Defiance Marine is a boat dealer who proudly sells Defiance, Allied, and Arima boats. All boats are built by West Coast fishermen for West Coast fishermen. Defiance Marine has all your boating needs to help you get out on the water.
All right, welcome back here at Fishing Northwest. We're going to Tommy Dolan as we wind it down. So, yeah, I will probably get there within about a week or so. I'll be kind of getting antsy to take the 410 out and just resight in the red dot, make sure I'm ready to go. Now, you don't practice with the tungsten load.
Well, no, that'd be cost prohibitive.
That would be very expensive. Yeah, you practice with the lead load, you can get those. And, you know, if you're having trouble finding the TSS loads, just get online.
Yeah.
Most of your ammo outlets online is the best resource if you can't find them down at Sport Co. or Outdoor Emporium. So we got that. Jordan and I and Herzog. Last week, I told you we're going to head back up north to hit those rivers for a last hoorah.
Yeah.
They're open till the 17th. And the weather window last week just was not conducive to one, having a good time, two, to filming. So we kind of begged on that, but getting the drift boat ready here in a day or two. And the plan is to head back up. Now I'm watching the weather. It looks like we got some pretty crummy weather coming in once again, but only for Monday and Tuesday when we're fishing. I mean, and then after that,
you can't plan around it. You got busy days the other day. You're retired. I thought you were retired.
What's up? Well, time flies by, and Jordan's available Sunday through Tuesday. So that's kind of the plan. I'd really like to see
Jordan's fault.
I'd like to see him tie into a nice steelhead up there.
Yeah.
He's overdue.
I would. So. Yeah, he is.
Yeah. I want to see Herzog get one on a spoon. It's been a bit since I seen him fight one on a spoon. So, but we'll be drift fishing the Okie Drifters again. And Joe Robles, he is killing it. He has now marketing his new Sunrise color, which is absolute money. I got a bunch of those tied up. I also tied up a bunch of my liquid fires that I've overpainted with my pink pearl champagne.
Your toenail polish. Yep.
Yes, my champagne toast. Yeah. Oh. Nothing feels more manly than standing in the store waiting for a lady to assist you with your nail polish.
I'm glad you mentioned something, because I need to call them for those big ones for halibut fishing. Oh, those are going to be money.
This is a 41 millimeter.
Yep.
He made that on April Fool's, but you want these for halibut.
Oh, yeah. I'm serious.
I know you are.
I'm serious. Yes.
That's awesome. I may use that as a float for summer run.
Yeah. There
Actually,
you go.
As a bobber. People will be like, you fish, what are you using? Okies.
Yep.
But it's going to be my strike indicator.
Nice.
That's where that's going to go.
Perfect. So
anyway, we've got a lot of stuff to look forward to. And you know what? We are going to get out and clam dig and surf perch fish.
Yes.
I think you'd enjoy that.
Oh, I would.
Sunny morning out there on the coast doing that. Going to be great. So hopefully you folks can find something to take advantage of. There's a lot going on, a lot to get out and do. So go and do that. Have a great week. Get out and accomplish something. Have a great week. Have a great weekend. We'll see you back next time right here, Fish on Northwest. Hey, thanks for joining us here on the Fish on Northwest weekly podcast. I want to remind everyone that you can catch our weekly live stream show on our Facebook page and, of course, our YouTube channel every Thursday evening at 6 p.m. West Coast time. You'll get our insightful in-studio interviews, our extremely detailed how-to segments in the bait lab, the infield segments we bring to you when we're on the water or in the woods, and of course, our amazing cooking recipes in the kitchen with co-host Sherry England and chef Jeff Maxfield. Give us a follow on our Facebook page at Fish Hunt Northwest. Also subscribe to our YouTube channel at Fish Hunt NW. Find us on Twitter and Instagram. And finally, go to our webpage at www.fishhuntnw.com for all the latest and greatest info. Join us each week here on our podcast. Join us each week at our live production. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you soon.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.